Hi, today's September 10th, 2023. This is Mold News Podcast 474. I'm Todd Agassa-Ward, my good friend, Dr. John Westfallen. We're trying something new today, so bear with us. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, I want to thank my other friend, Phil Mao, for recording Mobile Foods Views Podcast number one. And also testing my new wireless lav mic in an outdoor setting. And I got to apologize to Phil. You know, he noticed that after I processed it, and I had to process it because there were some volume issues, it sounded like we're underwater. And that the reason is because there are volume issues, Adobe Podcast Enhance, the free service, you know, did the best it could, but you can only do, you know, so much with a bad audio source. So it did the best it could to do things. And so it's sort of warbly and things like that. And the reason for that, I think, is not because of the lav mics, which I think work fine in my initial test. It's that because I was not careful in instructing myself and Phil on how to not move our heads a certain way while we, you know, while we recorded, especially outdoors. And so I think we're outdoors. We're actually standing in like a little shopping mall that we eat lunch at for the mobile food part of the discussion. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happened. It's basically we're at an angle that the lav mic wasn't picking up the sound. So I'm going to go test it again with another local friend, and we'll see how that goes. But again, thanks to Phil.
It's interesting to me with the proliferation of live blogging and all that, lav mics have become their own industry now. That's kind of funny.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it used to be that you could either get really expensive ones or really cheap ones. And now there's the middle ground. Fun that we're trying to figure out what is the good middle ground versus the bad middle ground.
Right. And it's not just a good and bad middle ground. What's the middle ground that works well on a mobile device?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is my goal, right? You know, like, again, you know, I watched the well-known comedian Kevin Nealon do a video podcast or video cast, like whatever you call it, vlog, where either Kevin goes hiking with Kevin. And he has great sound, and he has got great video. He has a drone flying above him as well as a selfie stick. And I've been trying to figure out, and of course, you know, he's a lot richer than I am, but I'm trying to figure out how to do just the audio part on a budget using, you know, sub-$50 microphones. With, I think, limited success. I'm pretty happy with everything except the one Phil and I did. And again, that's because I think we just didn't put our heads in the right place, literally. But anyway, what we're trying, thank you again to Phil. What we're trying today, what John and I are trying today is, I've been using this thing of what was the free audio, Adobe Podcast Enhance, which is what they call their AI-ish service that takes audio files, you know, mostly for podcasts, and cleans up the audio, volume levels and denoises and things like that, to you know, produce a good output. Recently, by the way, it left beta, Adobe Podcast Enhance, that part of it, and became part of Adobe Premium Express, which is $99 a year. As a result, I can only process 30 minutes of files of 30 minutes of length and no more than 60 minutes in any given day. So basically two 30-minute files. I'm not convinced I want to spend $100 on something I use more or less 40 to 50 times a year. So I'm still thinking about it. But what we're trying today is another beta from Adobe called they call it Adobe Podcast Beta. And this includes Enhance and includes Mic Check, which I forgot to use before we did this. And it also includes what John and I are using, which is called Adobe Podcast Studio, all in beta. Which it says can record, edit, and enhance podcast files in a browser, so you don't have to download anything. And so what I did is I sent John an email invitation, and it turns out John had to create a Adobe account. I am not logged in with Adobe account, by the way. I'm logged in with a Gmail account. So not sure why John couldn't log in, because that's instructions. You know, just type in your email address of where it got sent, and you'll be in. But that being said, so we're trying that. And I will provide a screenshot. In fact, I'll do that right now. Let me take a screenshot of what this thing looks like. And again, right now we are recording. We're a couple of minutes in. All right. I've got a screenshot. You'll see some text, speech text transcriptions up top, and that is the text of the audio I recorded while John was figuring out where to go. By the way, John, your mic is muted.
Yes, I know. And so my side is very boring. If anyone wants to know what a guest looks like, I just have something that says recording in progress. Don't close this tab. And then you start recording. And it's got a little bubble for me and a bubble for you. And then at the bottom, it says recording. And I have my mute that I can turn on.
Oh, okay. So on my side, and I took a screenshot of it, I see basically like a little, not quite a digital VU meter. Or maybe more accurately, a frequency meter that shows John and me speaking in two separate tracks and a timestamp. Now, I think, let me see what filters they have on right now. Oh, okay, enhance. All right, so I just turned it on for now. It won't matter until I do it. So anyway, that's what we're doing. Adobe Podcast Studio Beta. Because it's a beta, I'm not paying anything for it. And my question now is, how does it really work? It's kind of interesting things to note. One, you can't schedule it like mm-hmm. we can with Microsoft Teams and other products, which means you have to send the invitation out shortly before you start the recording, which is a little bit of a hassle for everybody involved. And the other thing is, because it is an audio-only tool, it doesn't have a video component, so John and I can't see each other. I guess we could start up Skype or Teams or Zoom or something just for the video part, but that doesn't seem worth it. But we can't see each other, which means we don't have visual cues when we talk, you know, like, oh yeah, Todd, I can see Todd stop and I'm going to say something and vice versa, or I get to see body language, or, you know, see John's cat attack him, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which would explain.
And it's interesting to me. We can kind of compare and contrast the features of it with what used to be Anchor.fm, which is now Spotify Podcasters, or Spotify for Podcasters. This is the service that I use for my Battling Pickle podcast that I do for my students and I do on that platform.
Uh-huh.
So that is another platform that it'll do audio enhancement. It'll do... I don't know if it'll actually allow you to have guests connect up. I'll have to play around with that and see if it will allow that. But it does allow for people to leave messages and for you to respond to those messages and embed them into your mm-hmm. podcast. You can actually see, I have the app over here. I can see if there's an option under a new episode to do any kind of interaction. Yeah, you can do voice messages, library music, interlude. But yeah, it does not allow you to invite. Well, actually, it does say invite friends. That's right. Yeah, you can record with friends. So maybe we'll have to try this platform out at some point.
Yeah,
and see which one we think does a better job. We could always do a jointly produced Battling Pickle and Mobile Views. See how that works.
Mobile Pickle.
Yeah, Mobile Pickle.
Battling Views.
Like yeah, Battling Views. Mobile Pickles. All of those things.
How much is that Anchor or whatever it's called now? How much is that service per year?
It is free.
Oh, well, that's a good price.
Yeah. And it is. And so far, there have not been any try to upsell. What they do try to get you to do is monetize your podcast. And if you monetize or you get people to subscribe and pay for a subscription, then I assume they get some take off of that. You can also get donations and such through it. So I assume they're taking a cut off of any of the monetization.
Yeah. So we could maybe make 50 cents a year from old use. That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So the question now is, you know, what will this podcast sound like? I think we sound pretty good, generally speaking, in terms of our, you know, our microphones and all of that. And I also think that Adobe Podcast Enhance, and I've been using it for several 2-3 months now regularly. And I think it does a pretty good job, although my already high-pitched voice sounds even higher-pitched when it enhances it. I'm not sure why that's considered an enhancement. But my voice pitch is even higher than I think, which is very possible. But yeah, we're taking a look at that. And I, again, you know, it's like, is it worth 99? Is it worth subscribing? I'm assuming it's going to be part of Adobe Podcast Express Premium, which is $99 a year. And I've already got too many $99 a year subscriptions. So now the question is, you know, is it worth $99 a year in retiree money just to get the podcast studio and replace my, you know, Audio Hijack and all the other stuff I use for recording and post-processing? And a really ease of use, because right now I have to use a Mac to record using Audio Hijack. It's the only thing it runs on, which means I can't use a Windows device and I can't use an iPad. One of my next tests I want to do with John, maybe, is, or maybe after his podcast, if he has a little bit of time, we can try to do a, I can hop on an iPad and see if we can record from there using Adobe Podcast Studio Beta. Anyway, we shall see. It also has music, you know, it has a royalty fee free music and stuff. So I'll put an intro on here that's a little, well, not very different from what we use, and see how it goes. All righty. So that is Adobe Podcast Beta. What else Adobe Podcast Studio adds is, so we can record over the internet, which is what John and I are doing. It has very basic editing. I think I can cut and paste a few things, royalty fee music. Oh, speech to text transcription. I should also note that the folks running this beta, the product managers, I assume, are very responsive. I sent them a couple of emails with some questions and comments, and they responded like really quickly. So I'm really impressed by this particular beta that they're running. I didn't contact anybody for the enhanced beta, but I had a lot of questions for this, because this could change the way I do recordings if I decide it's worth, you know, $99. All righty. Now, on to something I'm not sure John is interested in. I'm not sure I'm interested in. Although we're both kind of Apple fanboys. Apple Wanderlust, W-O-N-D-E-R, Wanderlust. Whatever.
Whatever they're calling
Wanderlust.
It.
Wanderlust, yeah. It's September 12th. Today's the 10th, so it's 2 days from now. There's nothing I think I'm going to buy. Definitely, you know, I have an iPhone 14 Pro, so I'm not going to get a 15 of any kind. I have a Apple Watch 6, which I'm pretty happy with. Although I did have to turn off the always-on display because the battery is starting to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the battery is going bad. I think it's just I'm getting a lot more alerts now because they've got like security webcams and things sending the alerts. Basically, it's alerting it to me wandering around my home. So I had to do that. So I don't think I'm going to get a new watch. And I don't think there's anything. Oh, AirPods Pro. I think there's some rumor, some medium possibilities that there might be a new AirPods Pro 3.
Yeah.
I don't know, John. Anything hardware-wise?
So for me, I have the same problem with my Series 6 that you have. The battery, I think, is at 80% of its original capacity. So it's about time I'm ready to upgrade. And if the rumors of an Ultra 2 being announced and a Series 9 are true, it's going to be a tough choice. I think I probably would lean toward an Ultra 2.
Really?
If it's not announced. Yeah, just because I'd be curious to jump into that platform. And I could always get a Series 9 later if I want to, you know, have the same look I've had for a number of years now. And I have a friend who wants to buy my Series 6, but I don't know if I want to sell it with it all, with it having... I mean,
battery.
I might just give it to her at this point because I don't know if I feel good about taking money for something that doesn't last the whole day, at least the way I use it. It barely lasts the whole day. So that is what I'm mostly interested in. I still have an iPhone 13 Pro that I think I want to try to get another year off of. And at some point, I would like to upgrade my iPad Pro. I know I said that last year and then I didn't. But this year, it probably is getting close to, I notice a huge jump between the 2018 iPad Pro that I have and 2023.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think it might be about time. Although the iPad Pro 2018 has been working just fine for me.
Yep.
And I use it every day at work. So that's what I'm interested in. And, you know, I think I'm going to install beta of iPad OS 17 today, tomorrow, and just kind of start playing around with that. And I haven't done any of the other betas yet, but I assume that we're getting close enough that they're stable enough I could use them.
Yeah.
Right now, it's the Apple Watch I'm very much interested in.
Interesting.
For the most part.
Yeah, so a couple of things. One, iOS 17 beta. I installed it in an old... What is it? I think it's an iPhone 10... something, you know, the smaller model, not the big one. And so I've got iOS 17 beta 6 running on it. It looks pretty stable. Standby mode seems to be smarter now. It seems to show more interesting stuff versus just a clock and calendar. So, you know, it looks like it's pretty close. I mean, I was kind of hoping they'd release it this week, but it looks like maybe next month. Mm-hmm. iPads, there's a rumor that there's going to be a new iPad Mini Pro, but I haven't heard any rumors of a full-size iPad. That said, I do have an iPad, 11-inch with the M1 chip, and that thing is fantastic. I highly recommend moving from.
And I'm very tempted, you know, for a while there, I was on one iPad, and it was the 11 Pro.
Yeah.
And then I bought the iPad Mini 6, which I've been very happy with. And I'm actually pretty tempted, before I buy another 11 Pro, to see if I could use the Mini 6 for what I use the 11 Pro for, just to go back to just one iPad.
Yeah.
Because I use it at work to take notes. And of course, Apple Pencil works on the Mini 6.
Yep.
I use OneNote with it. So I might be able to switch to just a mini instead of having a full size iPad, which would be a big change for me. I've always had a full size iPad ever since the full size iPad came out. So I'm not exactly sure that I'm going to go with a new iPad Pro when it comes out, but I do know that my wife is on a 2017 iPad Pro, and it's probably going to need to be retired soon as well. I mean, eventually it's going to stop getting iPad updates. Which is weird to think. I have this, I don't know if you have the what I call the pandemic time warp, where I think 2019 was just a year ago. And in my mind, I have to remember, wait a minute, that was much longer ago than I thought.
Yeah.
But yeah, these devices, because they're getting such better longevity now than they've ever gotten before, I have them, I go, oh, I just got that thing. And then I realize, no, I've had it for a while.
What, which says something about Apple, the iPad products in particular, that they really are very stable across time. Unlike some of my Windows devices, after a couple of years, you know, the Windows CRUD slowdown, whatever that is, it hits it and it's like, do I need to do a full reformat to make it, you know, even half usable? Or is it just a lost cause? I mean, recently I replaced the desktop just because I decided it wasn't that old, 2019 maybe. But I said, it's just a lost cause. And I bought $150, you know, on those mini NUC-style mini PCs, which is great. And it's plenty fast and, you know, runs cool. It's awesome, in my opinion. Yeah, so I did want to note that. And the other thing is, I think I may have already said it, sorry. But, you know, I just don't know if a new, looking at the rumor mill, I think a new iPad mini or any other kind is rated as a low possibility for launch. It's, I hope not. You know, I'd really like to see a new iPad mini. Although the Mini 6 is just awesome. In fact, I've got it propped up right in front of me right now, next to my MacBook. So yeah, there's that. Yeah, and the watch, except for the battery, my watch is fine. And
I think that's why I care about, I would want to go to an Ultra 2, just because I have been doing a lot more outdoor exercising and things like that, where I think I'd use an Ultra 2, and I just like the styling of it. I think it looks kind of cool after having a more formal looking watch. Something that's a little bit more rugged looking might be kind of cool, but yeah. I also don't know. I don't know if I would really want to have to try my new bands with it. And that's also the rumor, is that Apple's eventually going to change the band connection way, so all the old bands won't work anymore. I highly doubt that. Every year that rumor comes up, but I'm pretty sure it's just, this is evil Apple. They would do this to make you buy new bands. If they were going to do it, I would have thought they would have done it by now. So I think the worst we could get would be a new platform that would still be backwards compatible, or there'd be an adapter or something like that for it. But I don't think we're going to ever see Apple basically decide you should never be able to use any of your previous bands. We're going to a completely new setup.
I hope so, because some people spent a lot of money on their bands, you know, it'd be really, I mean, like a lot of money. I mean, I have two bands, the one that came with and the one I'm wearing. I'm not one of those folks, but I do know people who bought it. Actually, even my wife, she might have a couple of bands.
I bought a couple of bands recently. Moby Fox is a band provider and case provider that when they put things on sale, they put them on sale, and their bands are normally $39.99, and they come with a bunch of watch faces and things like that, so you get a good value add for it. But when they're on reduced, they'll go to $10. And so I recently placed an order with them. They had a pre-Labor Day sale where they went and did a whole bunch of $10 bands. A few that are $10 on their website. In fact, if you're interested in their soccer bands, their MLS bands are on sale right now, it looks like. And they've got some other, like, Harry Potter bands that are on sale for $10. For $10, they're very worth it. For $39.99, I don't particularly think they're worth it. But they still have a ton of bands on sale right now as they're getting rid of last year's, I guess, seasonal bands, whatever it might be.
Right.
Yeah, that last year's models. But they've got some pretty cool Disney and pop culture and sports bands. I think I did splurge for my baseball team of choice. I got their band for $20. So I spent $60 and got five bands and watch faces with all of them. So that's not a bad deal.
Oh, really? They provide watch faces too?
Their app will basically have a bunch of watch faces that are the photo watch face, and they're cropped to, you know, be appropriate and all that. And you get a little QR code in the package that unlocks the watch faces for your watch. And then you just click add, and it creates the watch face for you. So
that's pretty clever. I've never used a third-party watch. I didn't even realize there were third-party watch faces for the Apple Watch. So that's all new.
I mean, it's just the photo watch face with special photos.
Yeah. I see. Okay. Oh, you know, the other thing, it's not enough to make me buy a new phone for sure. Or is that the iPhone 15 is going to go to USB-C from Lightning, which I applaud, by the way.
Yeah, I'm ready for the USB-C change, but I need all the rest of the Apple products to get off of Lightning before I jump because of that. I also need my AirPods Pro to go off of Lightning, so I'll wait another year or two if that's the feature I'm going for.
You're right. I think, I don't know if this will push you off the edge, but I think the other rumor is that the iPad AirPods Pro 3 are going to have USB-C also, in addition to Qi charging.
But AirPods Pro 2 have been very excellent. I'm actually very interested in the iOS 17 feature for AirPods Pro that allow them to dynamically do noise cancellation. And that's mostly because I have a street cleaner that I see in the mornings that I always have to turn on noise cancellation for when I'm working out. And it would be pretty nice if I didn't have to do that, if it could automatically go, oh, that street cleaner is nearby, I should probably change into noise cancellation modes.
Right. And conversely, it also has a voice transparency mode. So apparently when somebody's talking to you, it will turn off noise cancellation to let you hear the person talking. Like, people probably think I'm always yelling at my wife because she has AirPods on. And like, hey, you know. So I said, would you turn those on when you get them so people don't think I'm yelling at you?
I was on a plane last weekend, and it is really amazing to me how well AirPods Pro noise cancellation works on a plane.
Yeah.
It takes you.
It's in my wife.
It takes you to the point where you can put your music out at a normal volume and nuance to it, and it just drowns out the 80 decibels of jet engine.
Yeah. So if the new AirPods Pro 3 have USB-C, and I think everybody pretty much has decided that the new iPhone will, is that enough to, like, push you over the edge to go buy
both? I don't know. We'll have to see. And I still think I'm going to hold off on a new iPhone until the 16, but if there's something really great, then you never know.
Yeah. The problem, I have the original, well, the first generation AirPods Pro in the short nubby one, which will not get the transparency feature, I think, you know, to turn off noise cancellation. But, and it works well. I'm using it right now for this podcast to monitor what you're saying. But the problem for me is AirPods Pro is I can't walk with them because they always fall out of my ear, even if I, you know, put the big silicone ear tips in. And I guess there's a fourth larger one now, so maybe that would help. But I use different kinds of earbuds and headphones when I actually need to walk around. This is for these AirPods Pro are for, like, sitting down for podcasting, basically, which is such a shame. Okay. All right. And then next, I don't know how much interest you have. I actually don't have too much interest either. It's on October 4th, so a couple of weeks after the Apple event, Google is having their Made by Google event. And they've pretty much announced everything, the Pixel 8, 8 Pro, Pixel Watch 2. So, I just bought a Pixel 7a this past spring, which I'm very happy with. And I don't want to spend twice that the money I spent on that to get a Pixel 8. So I have zero intention of buying anything that I know of, at least in the Made by Google event. Although eventually, when my Fitbit Charge 5 dies, I'm probably, I don't know. I might get a Pixel. I know I'm never going to buy another, just even though basically the Pixel Watch is a Fitbit. So I don't know. Anything made by Google that you've been reading about interests you?
Well, again, I am still on the fence. The Pixel Fold was the only thing that I found interesting and compelling that would make me jump from iOS to Android. And then I need to be assured that a Pixel Watch will do everything that my Apple Watch does. And so I still don't know if that's reached parity, and I also still have concerns about the longevity of those folding screens. I know people have been telling me they're getting better, they're getting better, but if I've been keeping devices, well, as we just mentioned, a lot longer than I used to, and it's very attractive, the idea that I wouldn't have to carry an iPad and a phone with me every day, that I would just have a phone that was de facto my iPad as well. But if it's gonna start showing a lot of wear after a year, and I do think I would be using the thing a lot, I worry about that. So I think I need to see a little bit more time before I'm convinced that these foldable screens, in whatever way that they come about, are useful for the long term. And then you had just posted on Facebook how the Surface Duo, original Surface Duo, is ending, is near end of life. And I still think of that device as that just came out. And it's crazy, as you pointed out on Facebook, that the end of life so quickly. And that's Android. Android can kind of get away with that, which is funny because we argued for a long time that Apple was making people upgrade too quickly, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the Surface 2 just came out in October of 2019, and then it was announced in 2019. It was released in 2020, September 10th, 2020. So if I'm using an iPad that was released 2 years earlier in 2018, and now I've got a Surface Duo that I would have bought in 2020 that's getting end of life already, I'm going to feel like I'm getting really the short end of the stick from Android on that. And I don't know why you wouldn't stick on
Same.
iOS if you're going to keep getting that level of non-support.
Yeah, and in fact, I think my Pixel 7a, I think it's only going to get upgrades for 2 years, and then it'll get a year or something or more of security updates. But that's it. Now then, that's why I don't buy the expensive Pixels. Well, one, because I can't afford them anymore. Well, I could never afford them. Let me rephrase that. I never felt I could afford the high-end Pixels, especially the new, the new two screen one fold, because that thing is like almost $2,000, I think. But I felt like, if I'm going to have to replace this every couple of years, I don't want to pay $800, or $1,000 or $1,500 or whatever. So I'm pretty happy. I think I spent $499 for my Pixel, and I'm actually I get a 10% discount on my Google Fi subscription, having bought it. So I feel like I got a pretty good deal on the 7A.
I think about the cost as well. I just kind of did the math very quickly when I bought the iPad Pro in 2018, and if I add in the amount of accessories I bought for it, I had to replace the keyboard a couple of times. I still am below a dollar a day in terms of how much I've spent on that device. I'm at about 87 cents. So for 87 cents a day, that's kind of what I'm expecting. I'm not expecting to pay $1,000 and maybe I get 700 days out of it, a year, 2 years or so, if a little bit more. That's $1.42 a day.
The way to think about it, the way I'm thinking about your situation is that basically you're paying the you've paid the price of maybe a grande coffee once a week.
Yeah, yeah, we can go with that. Well, I think about the amount of money I spend on coffee per day, and I drink expensive coffee because it's something I enjoy, and I pay about 70 cents a day in coffee that I make at home. So, yeah, I can deal with 86 cents a day for my iPad Pro.
Right.
But yeah, now I think about it, I am very tempted this week to try a week with the iPad Mini instead of the iPad Pro just to see how it would work. And it might be a good time to do it now when we're getting close to potential refreshes in October, November of an iPad Pro.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Google killing things, and we talk about Google killing things a lot. They just killed their Pixel Pass subscription after less than 2 years of availability. You know, that's their, you know, pay for your Pixel and get a upgrade at, you know, some reduced price the next iteration. So 22 months later, it's gone. So people who bought it, you know, can't get the new Pixel 8, which is not going to be announced.
Yeah, that it's just, it's a weird world when it comes to these things. I do not know what to make of it. The folding phones and the fold, you know, how many devices you want to be using at a time and how long you're going to get them at, how often you're going to replace them. It's almost like we're about 2 or 3 years, the manufacturers are 2 or 3 years behind consumer taste. So Apple released the program, I guess it was 4 or 5 years ago now, where you could basically upgrade every year your iPhone and just basically pay a lease fee in a sense instead of an actual buying a device. And Google did it a couple years later, and now they're killing it, and Apple's is still going. But I suspect that they thought, well, everyone wants to upgrade every year or 2 years, and people don't have most. Civilians do not want to upgrade on a regular cycle. They upgrade when a device dies. And then if you've got the people who do want to upgrade regularly, they're not on the 1 year or 2 year cycle. They're typically on the 3 or 4 year cycle.
Yep. I'm raising my hand, even though you can't see it. For sure. Yeah. I will say that I have been upgrading my iPhone every 2 years. Maybe I skipped a year once, but mostly it's to have an active Apple Care, although I rarely needed it. My iPads go out more often than that. Hey, speaking of things canceled, you know, Amazon canceled their newsstand feature. So people who subscribe to magazines and newspapers and things through Amazon didn't just lose that feature, they lost their subscription. What happened to me was years and years ago, I subscribed to the digital-only Washington Post through Amazon's, I guess, Kindle newsstand, because, you know, it was an easy way to pay, and it's all set up. I didn't have to set up a new payment system or whatever. And I paid for renewal this past March. That was my normal annual renewal cycle. And my my subscription, you know, so it should have gone through, you know, March of 2024. But on, what was it, just a couple of days ago, when the newsstand was officially killed by Amazon, my Washington Post subscription was killed. And I should say they did refund me the difference, you know. So they prorated what I paid, and I got back money that, or credited money, I should say. So, you know, in that sense. And also the Washington Post, which is still available digitally, is really expensive outside the newsstand. It's like twice the price maybe. So kind of disappointing that they did that. I think I saw some smaller publishers are going out of business because that was their main source of income, you know, just getting exposure through.
Yeah, and I still think, Apple News Plus has all the magazines and some papers, and I forget about them half the time because I don't think in that terms of media anymore, which is sort of a weird thing to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, the one thing, by the way, News Plus, Apple News Plus, you know, which I have as part of Apple One, which you convinced me to buy, and I'm actually grateful for it. It's good, you know, combo service. Although it includes Washington Post in its feed, to actually read a story, you need a separate subscription. So it's still in my feed, but I can't read it anymore. It's okay. Now that I'm retired, I'm trying to care less about the world. I don't, but I'm trying. That is about
next week we'll have hopefully a lot more to talk about. Maybe we'll even have bought something by then. despite yes. not knowing what it would be. I mean, I think there's a good chance for me, but I don't know. If I don't buy something after it's announced on Tuesday, then something really annoyed me. So regardless, we'll have something to talk about.
Okay, well, we'll see how, and we'll also see how this recording comes out. I'm kind of curious, debating whether to add my normal intro music or have it added. But, you know, I did a test, and so there's like, I don't know, 50 seconds of testing, and I don't know how to edit that and then add the intro. Oh, we'll find out. I'll find out when I get to go into studio after I hit stop recording. And I assume we'll still be able to talk after I say stop recording, so we'll find that out too. In any case, this has been Mobile News Podcast 474. And again, we are recording this using Adobe Podcast Studio Beta instead of the usual setup I use, which is Teams or Skype or, you know, Zoom or whatever, with Adobe Amoeba, Rogue Amoeba's Hijack Pro, Audio Hijack Pro. So we'll see how this goes. And if it's something that we'll use regularly, I really want to be able to use it regularly. And then if I do, they want to use like, you know, $99 a year for retiree money to pay for it. But we shall see. Okay, I'm going to hit stop recording and see if we lose John or not. I hope not.